Hello and welcome back to In the Corner. This is episode 22. We got a pretty good episode lined up for today. We just had the end of the Eubank Ben and Tank Roach press conferences. I hope people know, Gervonta Davis is fighting this weekend. This fight has been going totally under the radar, and it's not a good matchup. He's fighting a champion from the division below him in Lamont Roach, and the promotion has been awful. Nobody's been talking about this fight. I mean, it's crazy. Like, usually when you have one of the faces of boxing, supposedly, you know, you hear about it a lot more gearing up to the fight week and stuff. But, I mean, there's been nothing. Literally nothing. I watched the press conference just now, and even that was pretty boring. I mean, which you kind of expect with Tank, but he's really funny when he can get himself going. But you kind of got to force it out of him. He just has no interest in, like, actually being a face of the sport. But anyways, that card is this weekend. This will be the last episode before then, so we're going to do a whole breakdown on that fight and the undercard. It's a pretty good card, some good world title fights on it. Got a plethora of other good boxing, MMA, BKFC cards this weekend that we'll talk about. We're going to talk about the Eubank Ben press conference that just happened, the second one, that is. No eggs were slapped. It was not as exciting as the first one, which you come to expect just because they did a better job of keeping them apart, although I thought some of the back and forth was more interesting this time around. And then we'll also talk about some other big topics. First off, I want to start off with, apparently, I didn't see this before the, or I did, but I forgot to mention it in the last episode, how the plan that Turkey wants is for the winner of Eubank and Ben to fight Canelo in 2026. Now that is so disappointing because, listen, even Canelo Eubank I think is stupid. I don't think that Eubank deserves a Canelo shot. I don't even know if he deserves a world title shot. Definitely not a 168 when he fights at 160. And I mean, he's not a world class level fighter. But I would understand if they did the Canelo Eubank fight because he is a big name in the UK. You know, he has done pay per views over there. He is a bigger name than he's a bigger name than Christian and Billy and Diego Pacheco for sure. So there's that element to it as well. So I kind of understand the move for Canelo Eubank. That's been talked about a bit. This just also lets me know that they do not see Conor Benn winning this fight because there is no way that Conor Benn wins this fight and gets Canelo. It just doesn't make sense. Benn is still a big name, but he's not as big a name as Eubank, quite frankly. And Eubank is also close to 168. He used to fight at 168. Conor Benn is a 147-pounder who's coming up to middleweight for this time. And then if he fights Canelo, you know Canelo is not going to go down. So he's going up to 168 then, which I don't even know if he can hit. And then you know Canelo's not going to agree to a rematch clause. So he's going in there 150, maybe 160 pounds up against Canelo, who's likely 190, 200 pounds in the ring. So it just doesn't make any sense at all, you know, to do that fight, I don't think. And I think that the plan is Canelo Eubank. That's what they want. I don't think that they see Ben winning this fight, which, you know, you'd have to think Eubank is a big favorite in this fight, but I wouldn't count Conor Ben out. We're just going to have to see, but I do not like that plan. I think there's a good amount of guys at 168 for Canelo to fight. If Eubank does fight him, I'd like to see Eubank versus Shiraz before then. I think that was the plan. If Shiraz won his world title fight, was to do, and Eubank won this fight, of course, was to do Hamza Shiraz versus Chris Eubank. Winner goes up to 168, because we know that Hamza Shiraz, there's no way he's going to stay in middleweight for a long time. I'm shocked he can even make that division right now. I think that he's waiting to get a real title, maybe have one or two big fights and then move up. So we will see, but let's talk about this press conference very shortly. It was interesting. I like the egg detector they had on there. There were some funny moments, you know. Conor Benn made Ben Shalom piss himself when they were on the pitch and he ran at him. The face-offs were kind of weird. I thought the one on the pitch was good. They got him pretty close, but on the press conference stage, they were like 2 feet apart, which was, you know, pretty – I understand why, though. It was just kind of disappointing, you know, when you want to see him really get in each other's face, but, you know, you can't really let him anymore. But I thought that the conversations during the press conference were really interesting, and I don't like Chris Eubank Jr., I'll be honest, just because of the way he talks. He thinks he's so smart, and – I just thought it was funny. He was talking about trying to brag about his negotiations and stuff, and Eddie Hearn and Conor Benn are just kind of ripping him to shreds, like, oh, look at you, real smart guy, you know, because he's just like, dude, you sound like such an idiot, you know, talking about, like, he just, like, the way he talks, he tries to sound like he's so smart, and he's so calculative, and I know that he is calculating, but he's not as smart as he thinks he sounds. But I did like what he said about paying back the fighters that were on the undercard for the initial fight. He said he's going to pay $50,000 in total to all of them, which that's a lot of money. But when you have a lot of fighters on the undercard who probably were getting purses of close to 50,000 years later, when they all got fights afterwards, I mean, like, okay, like, it's a good gesture. And, you know, I thought that was cool, but I don't know how, like, necessary it is. I think it's more so to make a point, try and say that Eddie Hearn and Conor Benn screwed people over and were crooks, which, you know, I mean, they did. I wouldn't say that they're crooks, but they definitely did, you know, kind of screw over these other fighters who were looking to get a big opportunity, you know, but they were able to get their, they were all able to get fights pretty soon afterwards. You know, I liked a lot what was said. This time felt like it was shorter. Ben Shalom said something else to embarrass himself. He, you know, said something about Keith Connolly thinking he was on stage and he wasn't. I mean, he's just not good at the trash talk like Eddie Hearn is, and Chris Eubank and Conor Benn. Like, he's just trying to keep up and be a part of it, but he's just not as built for it. Nigel Benn apologizing to Chris Eubank, and then Chris Eubank threatening him, and Conor going after him, and then Nigel Benn pulling him back. That was all very funny exchange. You know, so there's some good moments in that press conference. Way better than the Tank Roach press conference, which is this weekend. I can't believe it. Yes, yeah, so without further ado, let's talk about Gervonta Davis Tank Roach. This will be 12 rounds for the WBA Lightweight World Championship. Tank is, I believe, he is 30-0 with 28 knockouts. And, I mean, this is just another, just a disappointing fight. And I know it's been covered to death, and everyone's talked about how disappointing this fight is. And I don't want to keep on beating a dead horse, but I really wish that we could have gotten something better for Tank. Luckily, he says he plans to fight three times this year. I'll tell you right now, that ain't happening. He'll fight maybe, I hope he fights another time this year, but it's going to be at least 6 to 8 months from now, because he does not fight very close together. If he really wants to be active and he wants to close out his career with a big year, I'd love it. I'd like him to say, I want three fights left. Don't promise them all this to us this year, because we know we won't get them. But, you know, if he does fight with Lamont Roach on Saturday, and then hopefully he'll fight somebody like Shakur next, I would love that. Please make Tank for Shakur. Shakur says he wants it next. I'm hoping that Tank just may say at the end of after this fight, yeah, screw it, let's go. I just don't know if that's going to be the case. And I'm already seeing Jose Valenzuela mention Tank's name multiple times this fight week. And I can kind of see the PBC gears turning, saying, oh, what if Tank moved up to 140? Yeah, and became a two-time WBA champion. He's literally just fighting all the other WBA champions around his weight, you know, because they allow it. I mean, Gilberto Mendoza just said that Tank is the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world. Are you shitting me? No, he's not. He's fantastic, but he's holding himself back by fighting lame opposition that you let him. He fought Hector Luis Garcia, who was the 130 champ at the time, who then Lamont Roach beat. Now he's fighting Lamont Roach, and now they're gearing up for him to fight Jose Valenzuela. I mean, dude, come on. Make him fight the other guys, the other top guys. Or at least, how about, if you're not going to let him, if he's not going to unify, why don't you order him to fight a good contender? I mean, honestly, I think that Floyd Schofield is going to become WBA number one pretty soon. I'd rather Floyd Schofield than Lamont Roach, honestly. Well, I don't know. But maybe. I need to see Tank do something big. It needs to be Shakur, Keyshawn, Loma. And there's a lot of guys at 135 you could fight, but it needs to be somebody new else big. Now, as for this fight, confirming, yes, Tank is 30-0 with 28 knockouts. His opponent, Lamont Roach, is 25-1, one draw, with 10 knockouts. So he's not as big a puncher. His one loss comes to Jamel Herring. That was in 2019, so a long time ago, when he challenged, I believe he was challenging Herring for his world title. BoxRec is not being cooperative right now. But I think he lost that fight by unanimous decision. I'm excited, you know, just because I want to see Tank back in the ring. And he is one of those fighters that just when they're a big name, just anytime you see them in the ring, even if they're against nobody, you still just get excited. So I'm excited to see what he has to offer. I hope that he gets a good knockout. I know that he will get a knockout. We've seen this fight, this exact kind of situation, play out so many times before. I'm guessing it'll be another late stoppage. He's going to start off losing the fight. He's a slow starter. He likes to download his data. I know that Lamont Roach is going to look good. Lamont Roach is going to start to win rounds and get confidence. But at some point, Tank is just going to catch him, and that's going to be the fight. He's just going to put him out. I don't think it's going to be a particularly exciting fight. The fight with Frank Martin, I remember, was not great up until that eighth round beautiful knockout. So I don't expect really anything different on Saturday night. I'll say another stoppage between rounds. I'd say between rounds 6 to 10. I know that's a wide range, but I can see it happening as early as 6, and I can see it happening. I don't see it going past 10 rounds. I think it'll happen well before that point. We'll see. I just confirm he challenged Jamel Herring for his WBO super featherweight world title. So this is his fourth world title fight. Lost to Herring on that one, and then beat Garcia for the title, beat Fergal McCrory at home to defend it, and now goes up to 135 to challenge for the WBA lightweight championship, not his 130-pound championship. That's a crazy pipeline from Fergal McCrory to Gervonta Davis. I mean, my goodness. But hey, you know what? Credit to him. He played the system. Okay. Also on this card, it's almost all WBA title fight BS. So you've got two 140 matchups, title matchups, in fact. The second of which actually is the co-main event, Jose Valenzuela versus Gary Antoine Russell. That's a pretty good fight, I think. I think that's actually a really good matchup, too. I think that these are two of the top guys at 140, and they should be fighting for a world title. No, Russell lost his last fight, and that was an interim WBC world title fight. So I don't think that he deserves this fight at all. However, I think that Valenzuela and Russell will match up very well. We know Russell. He went the distance for the first time in his last fight against Alberto Puello, who also returns on this card. Lost that one by decision. And Jose Valenzuela has had a pretty good run recently, defeating Pitbull Cruz to win his 140-pound title. I do really like this fight. I think it's very competitive. It's hard to say. I can't believe that 140 is still such a stacked division. But if you look at the title fights we get, these are two of the title fights. These are, 50% of the world title action we're getting right now. And it's Alberto Puello versus Sandor Martin and Jose Valenzuela versus Gary Antoine Russell. None of those guys are even on the top 50 pound for pound list, maybe. Maybe you would say Valenzuela's on the top 50, probably. Maybe. But I'm not even confident in that. I mean, it's crazy how this division is so stacked, but the best fighters in it are either moving up now to welterweight, it seems, or just don't hold titles at the moment because there's a lot of upsets in it. It's just such an odd division. As for who wins this fight, I really don't know. Because, this WBA belt at 140 has just been changing hands constantly. It was Rolly versus Barroso when it was vacant. Rolly won that one controversially. Then he gets stopped by Pitbull. Then Pitbull loses it to Valenzuela. Is El Rayo going to lose it on Saturday? He could. Antoine Russell has only ever lost one time. And I know Valenzuela's lost twice, but usually you don't see fighters lose twice back-to-back. For their first two losses. I know it happened to Tim Zhu, and I know that it does happen, but I would just be kind of surprised if that happened. But also, I think Valenzuela is the better fighter, at least as of right now. I can't believe that Russell's getting an immediate title shot, but I think I'm going to have to pick Valenzuela, but I'm not confident in it. This fight could genuinely go, another way. And I feel like a lot on these PBC undercards, I feel like you just happen to see a lot of upsets, and I think this could be no different. So we'll see what happens. I'm going to pick Ryo, but I'm not super confident in it. I just thought that he had a very good performance against Pitbull. He seems to be in a very good shape of mind. We'll see. I say that he wins it by decision, though, again. You got Gary Antoine Russell, who, again, is a he's a big knockout puncher, similar to Pitbull Cruz. So Ryo is going to have to outbox him, which he did quite well against Pitbull. I thought that was a very close fight, but I thought that, Ryo could have gotten the win. So... we'll see what happens. I'm going to pick Ryo. Just mentioned it, Alberto Puello, Sandor Martin. This is another very interesting fight at the 140-pound mark. I think that, it's hard to say. It's just like these are two kind of underground fighters. I can't believe this is like a WBC title fight in such a big division. I'm going to say, Sandor Martin really could pull an upset here. I assume he's the underdog. Puello looked pretty good against Russell when he beat him, but again, that was another very close fight, and I think Sandor Martin honestly may have more name value than Alberto Puello. Alberto Puello is undefeated, as opposed to Sandor Martin, who has had, I think, two losses in his career. Three losses. He's 42-3. I didn't realize he had fought that many times. You know, had the close loss to Teofimo Lopez, lost to Anthony Yigit when he challenged him for a European title, and lost him very early on in his career, an eight-rounder, to Alexandre Lapelli in Barcelona. So I'm not sure. I'm going to say I think Alberto Puello. I think he may – I don't know. He's been in pretty good form, you know, beat G.A. Russell, you know, had a good win over Batir Akhmedov recently. He's not very active. But then again, Sandor Martin himself is not very active. Sandor Martin hasn't fought since December of 2023 in an eight-rounder. In fact, he's ever since his December 2022 loss to Teofimo Lopez, he's only fought in two eight-rounders but gets ordered for the world title. What is wrong with the WBC? What's wrong with boxing? Why is he getting a world title shot? He's a good fighter, but come on. Really? Ugh. Anyways, does hold a win over Mikey Garcia. I'm going to pick Alberto Puello. I think that, you know, we could start to see something good here. And listen, I really hope that PBC's plan is to unify the winners of these fights, because there's no way you put them on the same card back-to-back without some plan. Granted, knowing PBC, their plan is probably to do, you know, some backward stuff and have the winner of one of these fights go and fight Ryo, and then the loser of the other one challenges the winner of the other one. I don't know. I'm going to pick Alberto Puello. If it's by knockout or decision, I really don't know. You know, Sandor Martin has never been stopped. Alberto Puello, let me see. I don't think that he's an overly big puncher. He is 23-0 with 10 knockouts. Yeah, I'm going to say Puello wins by decision. You know, I'm excited for these fights, these 145s. I don't think they're going to be particularly exciting. I think Valenzuela Russell is a very good matchup. I think Puello Martin is honestly a very competitive fight. I just don't know if either one is going to be exciting. What is going to be exciting is Yoenis Tellez when he challenges for a WBA interim world title, 154 pounds. I'm shocked he's getting a world title shot this early on. He's in with Julian Williams, who's 29-4-1, former unified champion, they said. So, very, very good fight. A very big step up for Tellez. But he is 9-0 with 7 knockouts. This guy, when he comes onto the screen, do not stop watching him. He is so, so good. I'm a huge fan of Yoenis Tellez. I think he's a brilliant fighter. You know, he's going to open up the cards. We're going to get 4 world title fights, I guess you could say. I'm picking Yoenis Tellez to win by stoppage. Absolutely, I am. And then he'll be mandatory for Terrence Crawford's belt. In fact, he may get upgraded to WBA full champion after this fight, because Crawford's moving up to 168 to fight Canelo, and that's at the end of this year. And Crawford only fights once a year, so Crawford will not be defending that belt until probably around 2 years after he won it. What's the point of holding him champion there? Give it to Tellez. Make this the full championship. I don't think that they will, but I think afterwards, you know, months down the line, we may see Tellez you know, just get fully upgraded. And I mean, I can't believe that he's getting this title shot with the WBA. You know, I'm a huge fan of him, and I think he's a fantastic fighter. It just seems kind of early. You know, there's a lot of other guys that are in the 154 title queue. You know, after this man, this is a tough fight, but I think it's one he should certainly win. And after that, he's in with big guys. He's in with some dogs. So very excited to see that fight. Yeah, it should be great. Jared Hurd returns on the card against Johan Gonzalez. Gonzalez was just most recently stopped by Yoenis Tellez in October. That was each other's last fights. Hurd had a very good fight. Actually, I don't know if I would say it was very good, but it was a decent fight with Jason Rosario, a draw that I and many others believe he should have gotten the nod in. You know, should be a pretty good fight there. He headlines the prelims. I know there's one other prelim, but I can't even remember what it is. I don't think it's anything particularly exciting, but you know, it's overall a good card. It'll start at 6 p.m. Eastern on Prime Video and YouTube, and then main card 8 p.m. Eastern on pay-per-view. It's going to be like, how much is this? Is this $80 or $90? Because PBC's prices, they change around a good bit, but they're getting very, very expensive. And, I mean, you just look at last week. It was $25. That's it for the big last Crescendo card. And then you have this weekend, Gervonta Tank Davis, which, you know, does not really have any none of the fights on the card, even the tank fight, are anywhere near as exciting as the cards on there. Well, actually, Tank Roach is probably better than Shakur Pally. But yeah, it's $80. So, yeah, they're going to get a lot of stream East, I bet, because I don't think a lot of people are going to buy this. Let's talk about what other fights are going on this weekend. Rocky Hernandez returns against Rene Tellez Giron. That's in Canada. Very, very odd, I think, but why not? Matchroom's first show there. I'm not really sure what the concept is behind doing it there, but I think that it's a co-promotion who's already planning an event. They have a new heavyweight they signed, Alexis Barriere, who's in a 10-rounder. He's 11-0 with, I think, 9 knockouts, excuse me. I'm excited for that. Rocky Hernandez is a very good fighter. His last fight with Matisse was pretty controversial, where it got stopped early with a cut, I believe. You know, we'll see what happens this time. Giron went the distance with Schofield. Didn't look great until he did, when he dropped Schofield twice in that fight, I think, late on. So, this will be a good, interesting matchup. I have to assume they got to get Rocky a title shot pretty soon, but, you know, I don't mind me some Canadian boxing. Also on Friday night, you have got a BKFC card in Albuquerque. I'm pretty excited for this one. I'm not expecting it to be anything great, but, just like a fun BKFC fight night. It's weird, you know, because they just had a card, but their last card was, I think, 3 weeks ago now, which is not that long. That's normal. But is it they had four cards in a row that I'm like, man, when's BKFC going to come back? And they've got this event, then they take a few more weeks off, and then they're back towards the end of March, and they have, like, three cards. They have events on February 20th and then March 21st, March 27th, March 29th, April 4th, April 5th, April 18th, April 26th, May 10th. So they're like going bang, 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 late March into mid-May. But yeah, this one is Keith Richardson returns. He is in with Usmanov. Should be pretty good. Bekzad Usmanov, that is. I think that'll be a pretty good fight. I think that an eliminator for the bantamweight title. So some pretty good fights on there. Sanchez Aiken in the co-main event. I don't really know a lot of these guys, but that's not really the point with BKFC. Like I said, they're the brain rot of combat sports. You just kind of turn it on and watch some guys thug it out. They're just brawling. There's no skill to it. There is a little bit, but not really. They're just thugging it out, and boy, is it entertaining. So that's Albuquerque, New Mexico, Friday night. It'll be on the BKFC app and DAZN, and Hernandez Giron is on DAZN as well, obviously. What's also on DAZN is Lewis Crocker, Paddy Donovan. I cannot wait for this fight. It's going to be it's a very 50-50 fight. I haven't even really thought about who I think will win yet. You know, I thought that Lewis Crocker honestly lost to Kona Walker last time he fought in June. I thought that was a fantastic fight. I thought it was an absolute war. Very close fight, but I thought that Walker certainly deserved the decision there, and I thought he kind of robbed Walker. But he's in with Paddy Donovan, who's a fellow undefeated Irish welterweight. Fantastic matchup here. As for who wins, it's hard to say. You know, I want to pick the underdog. I want to pick Donovan because I think that he's looked more consistently good over his career. But I feel like usually with these fights, when you have somebody who has a bad performance like Crocker, comes into this big fight, everyone's saying, oh, he's not that good, he got exposed, and then he looks good and wins. I'm going to pick Lewis Crocker. Method, I don't know. I can't really see this fight going the distance. I just think it's going to be an all-out war. I can also see Paddy Donovan winning. So I'm going to very narrowly take Crocker, but no confidence in it, really. It's 12 rounds as an eliminator for the IBF welterweight title, which is held by Jerome Boutenis. Same promotion, you'd think it'd be easy to make. Eddie Hearn says they probably will not make that fight, and I don't blame him. I just don't think it makes sense. To be honest, I don't even think the winner of this fight should be mandatory for the title. I think they're both very good fighters. I just don't think, okay, they win this, they're, you know, fighting for a world title. I'm like, I don't know if that makes a lot of sense, but hey, you know what? We'll see what happens. I could see them, you know, it seems like the winner of this will fight for the vacant belt. I think Boots, if he beats Stanionis, he's moving up to 154. I don't think he's going to go for undisputed at welterweight. And even if he does, I think they're going to try and find their way to negotiate around the IBF so that he doesn't have to fight them, just because he needs to have big fights. He's entering his prime. He's a huge star for American and Philadelphia boxing. He needs to be in at 154 with the top dogs, or he needs to be unifying at welterweight. That's it. I don't want to see him fight Lewis Crocker or Paddy Donovan. It just doesn't make sense. There's no juice to it. Matchroom has built a very good card on there. Craig Richards versus Paddy McCrory is a fantastic fight. 10 rounds of the light heavyweight division. I can't wait for that one. Who do I think wins? I'm not really sure. I think that, you know, McCrory just had the one loss to Berlanga last year, and he's come back since then in a very good fight with Castillo, which was close. He barely won that. You know, Craig Richards has been up and down through his career. It's for his last six fights, it's been lose, win, lose, win, lose, win. Granted, the losses he had there were very exceptional. Bivol, Buatsi, and Hutchinson. Also lost to Frank Buglioni, very early on in his career when he challenged for the British title. Probably too early there. But, you know, I think that Craig Richards is pretty good. You know, I think that he's a very good British fighter. I think that him and Paddy McGorry is a very, very good matchup for where they both are in their careers. Like, I'm genuinely super stoked for this fight. I think it's going to be really competitive. I'm going to pick, I don't know, it's hard to say. Because Craig Richards, you know, has definitely lost a good bit. He's seen his prime and he's passed it. But I don't think that I've seen anything too special for McCrory. So I'm going to pick Craig Richards. But I'm not too confident in it. Again, there's a lot of really good fights this weekend. I'm not too sure what's going to happen or even how good fights will be. I just know that they're close fights. Kurt Walker returns. He is in with Leon Woodstock in a 10-rounder. I think he'll win. I think he's a very, very good Irish prospect. I've been very impressed with him. So excited to see him return. Also on the main card, you have Tommy McCarthy versus Stephen Ward over 10 rounds at cruiserweight. It's whatever. Should be pretty entertaining to watch. And then also on the undercard, this will be in the prelims, I think, is Ruidon Farrell versus Gerard Hughes. So they actually fought last year for, I think, was it a Celtic championship? No. They fought at the end of December for in just a six-rounder, and then which was a draw. And then Farrell went on to fight Conor Kerr once in March, and then again in November, where they fought for the Irish super bantamweight championship. Now they fight. He fights Hughes again. I believe this one is at. Is this also super bantamweight? Yeah, it is. Over eight rounds. So, you know. Excited to see how this one goes. Hughes is undefeated. Farrell only has the one loss. That comes to Cole Murphy, who's another really good prospect from Ireland. So we'll see what happens. I'm going to say Farrell, I remember, he's very tall. He's very tall and lanky for the division. And I think that could give Hughes some troubles. But, you know, I'll say Farrell wins maybe. Actually, I may see another draw. I don't know. I hope it'll be another good matchup. Shauna Brown returns. She fought pretty recent. I think that she fought on the Australia card. No, I don't know what I'm talking about. That was another Brown I'm thinking of. But yeah, no. Should be some pretty good fights. Shauna Brown's on there. Aaron Bowen, very good matcher and prospect. He's going to do big things in the UK. And then Jack O'Neill, who's another Irish prospect, just makes his fourth fight. So yeah, should be a pretty good card. You know, I'm excited to see. Actually, excuse me, I got Aaron Bowen confused with Taylor Bevan. Aaron Bowen did not look good in his last fight with James Tall, where he got dropped. But you know, he should still be pretty good. I'm carrying on here. You know, good card. Excited for that one. Another very good card at the same time that will also be on DAZN here in the States. In the UK, it'll be on TNT Sports as, you know, Queensberry lives out its last month of its deal. But it is the EBU European Championship at, what weight is that? Is that a super featherweight? I can't remember. I think that this card is weird because I look at the card and, to be honest, I don't really see why this is the main event, at least not when it was announced. But it's Ryan Garner versus Salvador Jimenez. They're both undefeated. Yeah, it's for the EBU European and WBC International 130-pound championships. I think that's a good fight, one that Ryan Garner should win. It's in Bournemouth in his hometown, so that explains why he's main event. Louis Edmondson returns after robbing Dan Aziz for the Commonwealth and British Light Heavyweight Championship. He just defends his Commonwealth against the undefeated Oluwatosin Kejawa. Hope I pronounced that right. I bet he'll win this one. You know, I when somebody robs someone, I know it's not their fault. It just kind of upsets me. But I thought Dan Aziz totally won their fight in October, and Edmondson got a gift decision. So, you know, and it just leaves a bad taste in your mouth. But those two fights on top of the card, Mace Ruegg versus Liam Dillon. I believe Liam Dillon was supposed to fight Was he supposed to fight Archie Sharp? I think he was. And I was really excited for that because Liam Dillon, you know, he's lost recently, but he's still a really entertaining fighter. Every fight he's in is a scrap. And Mace Reg is undefeated, so, you know, hopefully this will be another good scrap. He's 12-0 with zero knockouts. Oh, jeez, that's your average British fighter. And in fact, actually, he's fought 1 8-rounder. Yeah, I think Liam Dillon should win this one. I hope so, at least. Otherwise, he's just going to get outboxed in a really boring fight. But Liam Dillon is very exciting, so hopefully he can get the win. Joe Joyce. This is the most interesting part to me about this card. Joe Joyce returns in an 8-rounder against Patrick Corte, who's 22-4-1, before he goes into a huge fight with Dillian White in April. I know that they announced Joe Joyce on this card, you know, a while ago, and I was like, okay, you know, I don't really think this makes a lot of sense for Joe Joyce to be on this card, but whatever. Move on. Then I realized, oh, he's going to fight Dillian White. He's staying on the card. I thought they took him off. No, he's still coming out to do a run out, I guess. I don't know. Joe Joyce shouldn't be fighting anyways. He really shouldn't be fighting a month apart. You have no idea what's going to happen in there. He could go in with very tough 8 rounds with Corte, or he could blow him out in 1 round. It'll probably be the latter, but you never know. So I don't see the point in this fight. But, you know, he's a big name, so it'll add some interest. Henry Turner returns in an 8-rounder after losing to Jack Rafferty. You've got Joseph Butler on the card. And a 6-rounder, Luke McCormack, Carol Atama, Charles Frankham, John Isaacs. So some pretty good fighters, some pretty good prospects. I think this should be a decent Queensberry card. You know, why not? Throw it on. I don't know how many of these cards I'm going to be able to watch live at the same time this weekend, but we'll see. Another big fight card this weekend. There's a lot of good cards. Subriel Matias returns, and he is in a IBF super lightweight title eliminator. So the winner of this will be mandatory for one Richardson Hitchens. And he's in with Gabriel Valenzuela. You know, I think this should be a pretty good fight. It's in Puerto Rico. Salida Promotions is on it. Pretty good card. Alfredo Santiago, who, you know, beat Angel Fierro last year in a good upset on Matias's first and only fight with Matchroom. Nestor Bravo, who's a very good fighter. Price Taylor, the new Salida Promotions heavyweight prospect. Hopefully he gets televised this time. And then Yandiel Lozano makes their pro debut. Really good fights set up here. I'm excited. You know, not a lot of fights on that card, so hopefully it'll be good, but should be a pretty good fight in the main event. And like I said, the winner of this is going to be mandatory for the world title against Hitchens. So I don't know if that means they'll fight him next, because Hitchens could be fighting Teofimo Lopez, who could also be fighting Arnold Barboza. Apparently, he is slated to fight on the May 2nd New York card, not Alcatraz anymore, which, I mean, this card is getting huge. I'd like to see Tio in with either Hitchens or Barboza. I really don't mind who that is. I do kind of want to see Tio unify, but Barboza's a good challenger, unlike Tio's last few fights, so wouldn't mind it. And then the last card we'll talk about, this is also on Saturday night, and Matias is on DAZN, of course. This will be on ESPN Plus, as that is UFC Las Vegas Fight Night 103, I think it is, yeah. Headlined by Manel Cape versus Asu Amabayev, number 6 versus number 8 flyweights. It's a really good fight, you know. I mean, this card was supposed to have a few really good flyweight fights, and they all got kind of moved around, but I think this one should be good. Portugal versus Kazakhstan. Cape is a slight favorite. I'm going to pick Amabayev in this one. I just kind of see it happening. Cody Brundage versus Julian Marquez in the co-main event. You know, that should be a pretty good one. Not a ton of other, like, notable fights on this card. I think you've got 7 prelims and then 5 fights on the main card. You know, so not too bad. Main card starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, prelims at 4 p.m. Eastern. You know, should be a pretty good card to just kick back and enjoy. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to watch that one live, but I will certainly have it watched on Sunday when we do our next episode. Okay, we just talked a lot about the fights that are coming up this weekend. Let's talk about some big news that's been going on in the boxing space. First thing we'll talk about, and I don't want to talk about it too much because, again, like, it's not official yet. We're just hearing it's close. TKO is apparently very close to announcing their boxing league. They've officially said, like, yeah, no, we want to fix boxing. We're working on it. I'm so curious to see how this works out. It could absolutely eat up, you know, the rest of the sport and just kind of embarrass them and take their business. Or it could fail miserably, because we know Dana White has a good UFC model, but they don't pay well. Boxers are used to getting paid really well, and I don't know who you're going to be able to win over. This is also funded by KSA. I don't know if it's funded by His Excellency. I don't know if he's involved with this, so we'll see, but I assume he is. Because it is Saudi Arabia. It'd be weird if there's two Saudi Arabian boxing entities that start to control stuff. But, you know, I'm hopeful that they announce that in the next few months. I'm just really curious to see how that goes. I believe it's still supposed to launch this year, so we'll see what happens. Josh Padley said that he was officially sent an offer by GBM to fight Maxie Hughes on May 23rd at Eco Power Stadium in Doncaster, his hometown, for their big stadium show they've been teasing. You know, I looked it up. This is a 15,000-seat stadium, so doable for them. It's going to be a very big show for GBM. You know, I'm excited to see him do it. I think Josh Padley versus Maxie Hughes is a brilliant fight. I've been thinking about who can Josh Padley fight next. You're going to want to be somebody domestic, somebody that's good but not too good. Maxie Hughes is that guy. Maxie Hughes has been wanting a big fight, but a good fight, one that he's competitive in. I don't think he should be trying to fight Gervonta Davis or even – I mean, I like the Andy Cruz fight for Cruz's development, and I think Hughes has a chance there. But I think that – man, I think Padley Hughes is a fantastic fight. I really hope that they can get that one over the line. That is, like, the perfect place for Padley to go to next. You know, we'll see. But, yeah, I think that's an awesome fight. Apparently, the main event is likely to be Terry Harper. I wonder if she's still with Matchroom, but she'd be defending her WBO lightweight world title that she recently won off of Rhiannon Dixon. Not sure who she'd fight yet, but that's just word on the street is that she'll be headlining. We heard it was going to be a world title fight on there, and I couldn't think of any male fighter that GBM could get, so it likely is Terry Harper in the main event. Naoya Inoue, David Picasso is not final. In fact, it's actually looking a little bit sketchy for May 4th in Las Vegas. Apparently, this is actually like the date, is that they're actually saying it's going to be May 4th. It's going to be that weekend, and they still want to do a Cinco de Mayo fight in Las Vegas. So it's going to be Inoue on a Sunday. So imagine this. We're going to get New York City with Ryan Garcia, Devin Haney, potentially Teofimo Lopez now, Bakoli Ajogba as well, which we'll talk about in a minute, on that card. And then you'll get Saturday, Canelo Alvarez versus William Scull with some other good fights on that card. You know, we're hearing Jaime Munguia versus Bruno Serra, some other good names. And then Sunday, you'll get Naoya Inoue fighting. I mean, what a stretch. By the way, on that card, we're hearing that Rafael Espinoza could be fighting Edward Vasquez. So I don't know if that means that Espinoza is moving up to 130, because I wouldn't be shocked, because again, he's huge for the weight. I assume he's going to move up soon, and Vasquez has been at 130. Or Vasquez has moved down to 126. He's had some really good fights at 130, some close fights that he's lost, you know, and I think he's a very good fighter. So I could see him moving down and challenging Espinoza for his title. I think that's a brilliant fight. I just don't know if that's Vasquez moving down to challenge for the featherweight title or Espinoza moving up and just having this be his first fight at 130. I don't know. But I'm sure we'll know soon, but I don't mind that fight one bit. I would like to see Espinoza in a unification, though, soon. But I do like that matchup. As for Inoue, who we could fight if Picasso doesn't come through, we're hearing that Mirjan Akhmadaliev could be a potential. Ramon Cardenas, Brian Mercado have all been discussed. So I think this is what we heard Nemkov talking about the other day, saying, oh, it actually looks more positive for the Inoue fight. And so I assumed, oh, they're talking about September. No, they're talking about May. So in my opinion, do Inoue Akhmadaliev. I like Cardenas. I like Mercado, but I don't think that they're necessarily ready for the Inoue fight. Akhmadaliev is. That's a Cinco de Mayo T-Bone Miller Arena fight you can actually sell. I mean, you can sell any of it with Inoue. And, you know, I mean, maybe when you have somebody like Cardenas and Mercado, who are more Hispanic American and stuff, they'll have a better chance at selling that fight there. But Inoue is going to bring in a lot of boxing fans, and the boxing fans want Inoue Akhmadaliev. So I'd love to see that happen. Talked about Bakoli. Apparently, the IBF is saying that he's ineligible for the IBF Eliminator, as he would have been knocked out just 2 months before the fight. You know, don't mind it. I can totally understand that reasoning, and I hate it for Bakoli because it really feels like, wow, why did he take this fight? He doesn't even get his world title eliminator now. But, you know, I mean, he took it to take a shot at the interim title, I guess, and it just, I don't know, it kind of screwed things up for him. But, you know, saved the show nonetheless. It seems like Bakoli and Ajogba are still going to fight May 2nd, which I love because I think it's a really good matchup. You do kind of feel bad for F.A. Ajogba because he was, you know, kind of like, I thought I was getting a real title opportunity out of this. Eh, maybe not, man. Whatever. So we'll see. But I think the fight is still on for May. Turki Alsheikh has told Bakoli he's still fighting. David Benavidez is happy to face Callum Smith next. This is interesting to me. He didn't even stay for the main event on Saturday. You know, apparently he had a flight to catch, which is so silly to me. Like, dude, move your flights. Why would you not? You came all the way here to Saudi Arabia. You're not even going to be there for the fight that you want the winner of. I mean, I'm kind of starting to feel like maybe he doesn't want to fight the winner right now. Or he talked to His Excellency. His Excellency said, look, man, if Bivol wins, we're going to do a trilogy, and you'll probably have to fight in the interim. And to be honest, the next best guy at 175 is now Callum Smith. I mean, you can't count Callum Smith out, counted him out against Buati, and he had a brilliant performance and beat him. So I think that Benavidez-Smith is a really good fight. I think that Benavidez runs through anybody not named Poturbiev or Bivol right now. I really do. I think that Smith could be a good matchup for him, and Smith poses some dangers, but I'm going to have to take the Mexican monster in that one. The prime card stage, or the cage that they used for KSI Tommy Fury when they did their face-offs, and Logan Paul, Dylan Danis, Boxer asked on Twitter if they could use that for the fight. They really should. And I know the press conference has already happened, but they really do need to have some kind of, you know, cage or fence blocking them. I saw the Derek Chisora, David Hay cage that they had at the press conference. They need to fashion something like that so that we can get these guys close together without, you know, them kicking off. Although today they handled it pretty well, so maybe they don't need it, but I just thought that was a pretty funny exchange. The British Boxing Border Control are looking to punish Chris Eubank Jr. for slapping Conor Benn with the egg, as he should. I was like, you know, usually when stuff like this happens, if it's the day before the fight, you get a penalty or something. You know, you get some fees taken. They may even pull you from the fight if you do something crazy. Somebody may press charges. Benn is not pressing charges. I don't think that he should. But, you know, I totally see why the BBBFC are looking to punish Eubank, as they should. They should probably just take some purse, part out of his purse. This is really interesting. His Excellency linked up with KSI. You know, His Excellency before said he doesn't want to do any YouTube fights. And, you know, at first they talked about, oh, yeah, we have a big surprise at the end of April and early May in London and New York. So essentially he's saying he'll be at both of the Ring Magazine cards those back-to-back weeks. And they're saying, he said, oh, there's a chance you can play with KSI, Fatal Fury. So I think that they're going to have KSI there because KSI is a YouTuber. He's a video game guy. He'll be there. They'll try and do some collaboration where he plays Fatal Fury with some fans. So, I mean, I don't hate that. He has a role in boxing. He has a role in video games. He has a role with the youth and YouTube and all that stuff. So I can totally see them why they want to do that collaboration. It's just interesting because HE said, you know, I don't want to do any YouTube stuff. And I think it may be a thing with Jake Paul personally, because they both made some jokes about KSI fighting a 79-year-old man, which was pretty funny, even though KSI was about to fight an old soccer player. But nonetheless, he didn't. You know, so this should be really interesting to see how this plays out, because they also mentioned Alcatraz, which, again, could just be another KSI partnering with The Ring, which, again, is very interesting. But HE said he wants him to fight in the summer in America against an actual fighter, like an actual boxer. And I know the plan with Misfits is to do KSI in the summer in America, likely against like a UFC fighter, someone like Tyron Woodley. I don't think he'll fight Tyron Woodley, but somebody like that. I hope that that's what His Excellency means, because if he tries to suggest, all right, KSI, we're going to go in and we're going to have you fight, KSI is around like 175 or so, or 200, let's have you fight Joshua Buatsi, you know, like an actual, like, good fighter. You know, I mean, KSI's gonna be like, no, because KSI, Jake Paul, he's not like the same as Jake Paul. Jake Paul would say, oh, I could beat them. KSI knows his place. He knows that he's a good YouTube fighter, but he's not a good boxer, you know, really not a good boxer. So he wouldn't take a fight like that. But hopefully His Excellency can you know, be a part of Misfits and get like a big fight over the line. You know, KSI versus somebody big. So we'll see what happens. And just very curious to see how this situation plays out. I'm really, really surprised by that link up. Rafael Fiziev is in for Justin Gaethje at UFC 313. You know, I mean, kind of expected. I expected, to be honest, this fight to be Gamrot. You know, so I am pretty surprised. But, you know, it's whatever. They didn't even mention Gamrot on any of the stuff, which I kind of think is a little bit fishy. Gamrot said he was in for the fight. And I also know that they brought up how Justin Gaethje said, oh, yeah, we offered the fight to Max Holloway and Dustin Poirier and Charles Oliveira and Armin Sarukian and Renato Moicano. And they all said no, understandably. But Fiziev said yes, so respect to him. I'm like, you didn't mention Mateusz Gamrot. And again, I'm not mad. Fiziev is decent, but he just lost to Gaethje recently. I don't know if it was recently, but he's already lost to him. Don't know if we really need this fight. Now it's only going to be three rounds. Whatever. At least we get to see Gaethje in action again. Some other big news from UFC. Announced a lot of stuff Dana White did. Bryce Mitchell is fighting on UFC 314 against Gene, or I don't know if it's Gene or John, but John Silva, who is one of the fighting nerds who had a very good win over the weekend at UFC Seattle. Very quick turnaround for him, so we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, they're throwing Bryce Mitchell in with the Wolves. I totally see Silva obliterating Mitchell. At least I hope so. I may be just willing this into existence. As I'm sure everybody knows, Mitchell was the guy who said that Hitler was a good guy. And Dana White said that they were looking to get a fight where he gets his ass beat, and this looks like it's going to be it. Hopefully he loses his ranking. He's only ranked number 13. Silva is looking for a ranking. Good matchup on that 314 Miami card. You know, hopefully we can see Silva pull off a good win. They announced UFC Kansas City for April 26th. Very good card, headlined by Jamal Hill, Khalil Roundtree Jr. I think that's a brilliant fight. They're really hurting Jamal here and throwing him into the Wolves. He's going to go on three straight losses. I mean, I could be wrong, but I think Roundtree wins this one. The pair were meant to fight in June of 2024 when all the fights were getting shifted around a lot. Remember, that was the fight it was meant to be. I think Hill versus Olberg. Then it was meant to be Hill versus Roundtree. And then somebody stepped in for Hill, and then somebody stepped in for Roundtree, and it just all the way around we went. I'm not even sure if that's the correct order, but it was a very, very odd situation. Anyways, they're fighting now. Kind of surprised. I thought it would honestly be Jiří versus Roundtree to see who would, and whoever won that would maybe get a title fight. That could be a title eliminator just because Roundtree performed so well. But I don't mind this matchmaking either. I don't know how Jamal Hill is still ranked number 4 and Khalil Roundtree is only ranked number 7. You know, I'm going to pick Roundtree to win this one. I could be wrong. Hill could look good, but he just hasn't looked good recently. Anthony Smith versus Zhang Minyang in the co-main event, also at 205. That's a very good fight. Giga Chikadze versus David Onama, good fight. Michel Pereira, Abus Magomedov, Ikram Alaskarov, Andre Muniz. Fantastic card there. This is a really good fight, and I'm very excited for this. This is one of their better U.S. fight nights they've done in a while. I know Seattle was very good, but, you know, that'll be the end of April. Yeah, so, you know, excited to see what happens there. BKFC announced that they'll return to Salt Lake City May 10th. I don't think it's going to be at the big arena there, but I think it'll be at a decent arena, so hopefully that'll be a big fight. Like I said, BKFC is putting on a lot of events. Eric Bazzini and Stephen Butler has been postponed. This one hurt. This one really hurt. Eye of the Tiger does some good cards. They do some good fights, and Bazzini and a Butler I thought was a fantastic matchup. I really was excited for that. Bazzini and it got injured, and what's odd is that they didn't just cancel that fight, bring in a new opponent for Butler. No, they canceled the entire event. There is no fight card in March 14th in Canada at all. It was weird. We were going to go on a three-week run where there was going to be a Canadian fight card, boxing card every Friday. You had Hernandez Giron, then you had Body Rocaza, most valuable prospects on March 7th, and March 14th would be Bazzini and Butler, but it's no longer happening. The plan is to reschedule this exact fight for a later date. I'm hopeful that they can, because again, I thought it was a really good matchup. You know, we'll see what they do, but yeah, this hurts, but it's whatever. What are you going to do? The WBC has ordered some fights. They ordered Dmitry Bivol, David Benavidez, which we knew was coming. I don't know if that's going to happen. I'm glad that they ordered it finally, you know, actually ordering Benavidez to fight, or at least trying to, you know, get a fight. Bivol will fight him. We're just going to have to see if it is going to be Bivol Beterbiev 3 or if it's going to be Bivol Benavidez, but those are 100% the next two fights. It's either going to be one of those two fights for Bivol next. They also ordered Carlos Adames to fight Mayrim Nursultanov. This is really interesting. It seems like they are not in support of the Shiraz rematch, which I thought was going to happen next. And I know some people are saying, oh, Shiraz should drop back down to kind of the level he was fighting before, you know, Amma Williams, Tyler Denny type guys, and get some good wins there and then come back to world title level because he didn't look ready. You know, Shiraz posted a picture of his hand. It looked pretty bad, so, you know, I'm not really sure what to do with him. That may be the move that they're going, and Adames is just going to move on. But Nursultanov hasn't fought since November 2023 in an eliminator for this title. So it's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I don't know. Does he really deserve a title shot? I don't know, but it'll be a good fight, one that I'm sure Adames will win. And, you know, maybe they rematch someday in the future. But it seems like Shiraz is not going to be getting his world title shot next, at least not with Adames, and he may go back through the levels, which is not a bad idea. Bakhodir Jalalev is being added to the April 5th Jandabek card. I'm surprised this card is actually turning out to be really good. At least has some good names on it. A potential opponent could be Ivan Dychko, his fellow undefeated big knockout fighter. You know, so some really good fights on that card. I'm excited. Jalalev was meant to fight at the beginning of February on Eye of the Tigers card and got pulled. He was ill last minute, which sucked. I'm really excited to see him get active. He's a very good heavyweight fighter. And, you know, he's already in 10 rounders and he's had 15 or so fights. I think it's time for them to step up the levels and let's see him, you know, fight some other good contenders and get up there. Speaking of some good heavyweight contenders, we know Richard Torres Jr. stepping up big time against Guido Vianello April 5th in Las Vegas. Still don't know how I feel about Torres taking that fight already. It's one that I honestly may favor Vianello in. Anyways, co-main event, Lindolfo Delgado versus Elvis Rodriguez is a brilliant 140 fight for Top Rank. You know, it's one that I think Delgado should certainly win. It is a good matchup. I think Delgado will come out on top. This seems like one of those fights that Top Rank does where they take two of their guys that haven't been like stellar recently and they kind of match them up and loser goes home. And I think that's what's going to happen. Elvis Rodriguez was with Top Rank a while ago and then was removed. So, and then he got added back and I think they're about to remove him again. But I'm excited for that fight. It's a really good matchup. Another really surprising, actually not surprising because we knew it was happening, but still surprising fight that they're doing this. Abdullah Mason, Giovanni Cabrera, wow. They are moving Abdullah Mason up fast. Giovanni Cabrera has only ever lost to Pitbull Cruz and William Zepeda. He is a high, high level fighter. I mean, Zepeda and Pitbull Cruz went on to get world title shots essentially after they fought him. And I know this is a little bit older, or not a little bit older, but a little bit more weathered Giovanni Cabrera, and Abdullah Mason certainly is a favorite and will probably win this fight, but I'm just surprised they're putting him in there. I mean, it's a very tough fight, but I think it's one that Abdullah Mason should come out on top. It'll likely be a 10-rounder, and then he is at the top of the world. I'm really excited to see what they do with him in 2025. Christian and Billy Diego Pacheco is in the works for a 50-50 fight at super middleweight. Please, please, please let this be true. I think that these guys are probably 2-3 at 168, at least of the guys that haven't already fought Canelo. You know, exclude Caleb Plant, Edgar Berlanga, Jaime Munguia, and Bruno Saras is in there now too. But yeah, I mean, I love this fight. You know, while Canelo's fighting Skull and then Crawford, making Billy Pacheco winner, you know, should be mandatory and should fight Canelo in 2026. Not a doubt in my mind that they should. If they will, we'll see. Aaron Chalmers has been added to BKFC Dubai, day two on April 5th, to be exact, against Chaza Simmons. If you remember, Aaron Chalmers was the guy who fought Floyd Mayweather in an exhibition in, the beginning of 2023 in London. And then since then, he fought on Misfits, he fought on Kingpin, I think he's fought on BKFC another time, and has not looked good. I think he's lost like almost all those fights, but he's tattooed like crazy. He's a pretty fun character, so hopefully he looks good. And the building of this BKFC card with some pretty good names. Last thing we'll talk about. I know I've been here for a while. Devin Haney, Shakur Stevenson have said on Twitter they're down to fight each other. And we know Shakur's always been down, and Devin Haney was down at one point. But when he was undisputed champion after beating Lomachenko, didn't seem like he was necessarily too down to fight Shakur and moved up to 140. Now he's saying he's down when he's already got his next two or three fights ahead of him. And he's moving up to welterweight when Shakur is still a lightweight. So I'm glad that they want to fight each other. I think they should. Again, they're two of those top American fighters. I want all these guys to fight each other. It's a brilliant 50-50 fight. But I just don't know if it makes sense because there are different divisions right now. If it'll happen, I don't think it'll happen. But if it will, it's going to be in a while, and they'd have to meet at 140 or something, or Shakur eventually when he just gets up to welterweight, because I think he could. I don't know. He can at least get up to 140. He'll probably get up to 147. I don't know if Devin Haney goes above that. He probably could as well. So we'll see what happens. That's all I have for today. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure to follow me on X. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. If whatever you're watching this platform on, I don't know, just like it or whatever. Thank you for listening. I will be live tweeting during some of the fights this weekend. I'm going to be out of town, so I'm going to try and cover as many of them as I can. Just letting you know, March 8th that weekend, I'm gonna be off the grid again. Not able to watch a lot of those fights, but this weekend I should be able to. Excited, should be a pretty good weekend of fights. I'll see you on Sunday likely with a recap of all the weekend's events and see what happens with Gervonta Tank Davis. Thank you so much for listening. Peace out.